Shabbat Shalom. Will you turn with me to the book of Malachi the prophet, chapter 3. We are concluding our readings into this book. Malachi was the last prophet to speak before Messiah came. Malachi 3, beginning at verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. This is a commandment concerning tithes. God says in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Here is one place in the Torah which mentions that in Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 and 29. Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 and 29. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do. Every year they were to bring tithes, but every third year, instead of taking their tithes up to the temple, they stored it up within their cities in containers maybe or in storage rooms. At verse 28, at the end of every third year, so that the tithes were meant not only for the temple but also for the needy. And that's what we have here, this precept, to distribute the tithes not only for God's servants and the ministers of the law, but also to put aside a certain amount for the needy. There's a food bank, a kind of benevolent fund, and that was used to help the needy. And God makes a promise of great blessing. He says here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. We know a little about that in this Kehillah, and we thank God for it. There's a promise of blessing, there's a promise of honor also. All nations, verse 12, will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Promise of blessing, promise of honor, when we do what God says. From verse 13 to verse 18, we have holy and unholy speech. Beginning at verse 13. Malachi 3, verse 13. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Here was unholy speech speaking against God, and God rehearses to them what they have said. Verse 14, for example, "You have said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts?" God expects us to be a happy people, not a sad people. In Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord took the people to task for their mournful religion. Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 1. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, say they, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no knowledge?" Literally, they were walking mournfully before God. And God says, their charge is an unjust one. Isaiah 58, verse 4 and 5. "Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord?" They thought the sadder they were, the more pleased God was. And God points out to them that it is the contrary of what he wants us to do. Remember what Nehemiah said, and the Levites, when the people wept as they heard the law of God. "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And so the Lord gave the lie to them. But they weren't all speaking badly of God. There was the contrary response of the godly in perplexity. In Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 12 to 14. "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Messiah, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." This is what God recorded in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord." They encouraged one another to keep trusting God. That was their remedy. "For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name." There was a book of remembrance written. Verse 17. "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." A book of remembrance. God has a book of remembrance. Messiah hinted at it when he said to his servants, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." And in Psalm 56, we find that God counts our tears. Psalm 56, verse 8. "You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book?" David knew that even his tears were counted and recorded in God's book of remembrance. This is the book of remembrance that God is speaking about in Malachi. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. God regards his people as his jewels. For example, in Haggai chapter 2, Haggai the prophet chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. What God said to Zerubbabel is what he says to all his children. The day is coming when I will make you my jewels. When the high priest was given a breastplate of judgment, it was a four-square linen pouch. On the front of that breastplate of judgment, there were 12 jewels, and each jewel had the name of a tribe, to show that the tribes of Israel were God's jewels. And that's what we have also in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 16. Speaking of God's redeemed people, we read, the Lord their God will save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels of a crown lifted like a banner over his land. God speaks about his believing people, his trusting people, as his jewels. And then God says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 18, then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. The truth will appear at that time. And it will be shown that those that trust in God, that believe in him, meditate on him, speak often of him to one another, that they are his jewels, and that as jewels are precious in the eyes of the owner, so believers that are trusting in God are like precious jewels in his sight. Chapter 4, a closing admonition. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble, and the days which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Here are the warnings of God, contrasting fate of godly and of ungodly. That fourth chapter begins with the word for, or because. He's referring back to chapter 3 and verse 18. You shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him, for behold, the day is coming. There's a day coming which will be a day of fire. Isaiah chapter 33, verses 14 and 15, describe for us the type of person who will escape that fiery day. Isaiah 33, verses 14 and 15. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil. He will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. When God speaks about the day burning like an oven, it's obvious that the righteous would escape being burned. The proud, chapter 4 of Malachi, verse 1. All the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up. That's the fate of the ungodly. Contrary to what these grumblers were saying when they said, we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. God said, the day will come when I will set the record straight. What about the righteous? Verse 1 speaks about what happens to the proud. Verse 2 of chapter 4 speaks about the reward of those who love him and fear him. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. The Son of Righteousness is the title of the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us. The dayspring from on high, Luke 1:78, is the same as the one here called the Son of Righteousness. In the Psalms, we read, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. And we read that he arises with healing in his wings. In Psalm 91 we read, under his wings you shall trust and you shall be safe. And it was the Lord's lament over Jerusalem, that Jerusalem had not taken refuge under his wings. Verse 3 of chapter 4 in Malachi, you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Ashes under your feet. Chapter 66 of Isaiah, verse 24. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. That's the same tone as here, where we read that the wicked will be ashes under the soles of the feet of those that remember God. And then comes an announcement in chapter 4, verse 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Remember, announcement of coming events connected with the law. When God says, remember the law of Moses, my servant, it is echoed in what Messiah said in the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Yeshua said, think not that I have come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And this is what God is speaking of here. Remember the law, because I am about to fulfill it in the coming of the Messiah. They had forgotten so much depended on them to be ready, because of verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. There's a great and dreadful day coming that's described again in verse 1, burning like an oven. The mission of Elijah is then mentioned. Elijah's mission was to reunite fathers and children, the faith of the ancestors with the faith of their descendants. Verse 6, speaking of Elijah the prophet, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That curse is mentioned in Isaiah 24, verses 4 to 6. Isaiah 24, verses 4 to 6. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. That warning is repeated in Malachi chapter 4, the last verse, verse 6. Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And so the people of Israel were left with a note of encouragement, of comfort, of rebuke, and of warning. 400 years later, a voice was heard in the wilderness. John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Shall we close with a word of prayer? Our loving Father, we thank you for your patience, your long-suffering, your goodness. May your blessing be upon all those that remember you in all their ways, that acknowledge you in all their paths. We pray that you would bless them and keep them. And for those who are contrary or contrary-minded, we ask that you would turn their hearts to love you and to fear you and to walk in your ways. We thank you for this warning note left for us in the book of Malachi. May we take heed for the good of our souls. We pray in the Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.